Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we thank you for the way that you provide. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and everything. Lord, I ask that you watch over us today, that you open our hearts and minds, and Lord, that we may just celebrate the dads in our lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, let's stand and worship. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
This is that time where we have our My Three, where we pray, and we pray for those who don't know Jesus. And if you guys recall, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that our missionaries in the Middle East that are working behind the scenes, and they had two of their church members thrown in jail. Well, we were praising God this morning There is but no reason other than prayer that they have been released. They were unexpectedly called in front of a judge without a lawyer, without anything, and the judge showed mercy and let them go. But on top of that, this is something that also was shared in it. They were interrogated. They went through all types of things. But whilst they were there, they got to share Jesus with those around them. They answered honestly, and they're rejoicing for everything that they went through, because we know prayer works. So I just wanted to share that this morning, that others are still coming to Jesus, and that we should never stop praying for those that are lost in our world. And it doesn't matter what circumstances we may find ourselves in, God can still use us. So this morning, as we prepare to go to prayer, I want you to think of those three people and remember that no matter where they're at in life, God still has a plan for them. God still has an opportunity to redeem them. And we can see this right now. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and lift up those three people that don't know Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your provision, even when things aren't going the way that we hoped, and that you can use us no matter the circumstances. Lord, we all know people in our lives that don't know you. We all know people that are searching for the truth. And Lord, we ask that you show them that. Lord, I pray for each person that is here this morning that they may be bold about sharing your word with their friends, their families, the stranger on the street. That, Father, that they may come to know who you are. Lord, we lift up our three people by name in this moment, knowing that you're the only one that can change their circumstances. You're the only one that can save them. Lord, I thank you for hearing our prayers. I thank you for the good Father that you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just continue to worship. Sing with me this.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
Oh, tremble death, where is your sin?
blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' So open up the gates, make way before the King.
Father, we just come before you this morning. We say you are worthy of our praise, and we do adore you, Father, because you are good, and you're still on the throne. No matter what is happening around us, you are still there. Father, we say thank you for being a good Father. We say thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Amen and amen. You guys can be seated, and we're going to be playing a video for you now.
The first thing my dad does when he gets up is go make the coffee.
Okay.
I want some coffee.
Okay. First, I smash the beans. Then, I mix them up. And then, I pour some cream. And then, I heat it up. And then I drink it. Here you go.
This is delicious coffee.
Thank you.
Next, he fixes the car.
Wrench. Here you go.
Nail.
Light bulb. All done.
Then he probably has to fix the sink, too.
Hand me a hammer.
Bang, bang, bang.
Hand me a pipe. Hand me a popsicle.
Why do you need a popsicle?
Because it's delicious.
He likes to cheer at my sports games.
Yeah, kick that ball.
Score a basket.
Goal!
Then he grills the food.
What are you grilling us for dinner tonight?
Hamburgers. Hot dog. Mac and cheese. Cheese. Mashed potatoes. Strawberries, raspberries, blackberries.
Mmm, sounds great.
Then he prays for dinner. Thank you for our cat, thank you for our friends, and thank you for the world. The friendship never ends. Amen.
After dinner, we played games.
I played Uno. You want to play Uno?
Sure.
Yep.
A blue 5.
I have a blue 2.
A green 2.
Draw 4, 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 draw 4. You have to draw 5,024 cards.
Then he tells me a story at bedtime.
Once upon a time, there was a dragon in the castles. He is a fire-breathing dragon and an ice-breathing dragon. And they all live happily ever, ever after. The end.
My dad always encourages me.
I'm so proud of you.
I'll always be there for you.
I love you and Jesus loves you very much.
You are a really good kid.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads.
You're the greatest.
Yep. Thanks. Bye. See you later. Break a leg.
How am I supposed to follow that? Well, good morning, church. Man, I would just want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there this morning. We're thankful for each of you and everything that you do for us. I also want to say welcome to the rest of it for everybody else that's here this morning as well, and our guests that are joining us and those joining us online on the radio. We are thankful for you. But before we dive into the message that I have for you this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we're just thankful for you. We're thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and cherishes us and wants nothing but the best for us. Lord, as we prepare to dive into your words this morning, I ask that it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I pray that I get out of my own way and allow you to speak through me. Lord, I ask that this morning we may just take this and we may run with what you have called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it was just last month that we celebrated Mother's Day. and the love that moms have for each one of us, and the influences that moms have in our lives. This morning, though, we're going to be shifting over, and we're going to be changing, and we're going to be looking at one of the other big influences in our lives. And we're talking about fathers, aka dad, or daddy-o, or papa, or pops, or whatever you call your dad. And you know, dads, they come in all types of different shapes and sizes. Sometimes our dad are our biological dads. They've been there from the beginning. Sometimes the dads in our lives are those men that have stepped up in a time of need and helped to raise us even when they didn't have to. Sometimes the dad in our lives is that family friend or uncle who loved us like their own. It really doesn't matter how your dad came into your life. What matters is that they were there when you needed someone to guide you, when you needed someone to encourage you in whatever life throws your way. Because dads play a very unique role in each one of our lives. In fact, dads play an important role in our lives, one that our society often overlooks. You know, for some reason, somewhere along the lines, we've gotten this idea that dads are the least important parent, when in reality, they're just as important as a mom. No better, no worse, but just as important. And they play a very unique role in each one of our lives. You know, throughout the Bible, it lays out different things that dads are called to do for our lives. You know, dads are called to be the leaders of their families. They're called to be protectors and providers. Dads are called to be the disciplinarians and teachers. Dads are called to encourage us. And most importantly, dads are called to be a reflection and an example of who God is to their children and grandchildren. Now, I also understand that unfortunately not all of us have always been as blessed. Not everybody sitting here this morning has had a father who's played that role in their life the way that God has called them to. Yet for many men that are sitting here today, you strive to uphold that job of being a dad, to love your family as Christ loved the church, and to walk out this calling that he has placed in your life. And for that, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for doing that. So let's dive in this morning, and we're going to take a look at seven different things that are mentioned about dads and what it means to have the heart of a father in our family and in our lives. You know, men, we are called to be leaders. We are called to lead our families, and we're called to lead them well. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, it actually says, he must manage his own household competently and have his children under control with all dignity. To give you a little context of the passage, we see Paul writing Timothy about what the standards are for a deacon or an overseer of a church. And one of the qualifications is that they have to have their house in order. They have to lead their house, and they have to lead it well. And this is a mandate that is supposed to be for all of us men. We are called to lead our families and to lead them well. And one of the best ways that we can lead is by example. We have to remember that the moment that our children are born, they're watching everything we do, every action we take. They hear every word that we speak. You know, children, they watch us through every stage of life, don't they? Sometimes when we don't want them watching us, they're watching us. They watch us as infants and toddlers. They watch us as we're children and teenagers. Your children hear how you speak about others. They hear the words that you use. You know, when you come home from work and all you do is complain about your coworkers and your bosses and everything else, your children hear that. And you set an example of what they're going to do when they're older inside of that moment. On top of that, when they see you, how you speak about others and how you treat others, the children also see how you treat their mother. You know, your sons are looking for you. They're looking at you. And how you take care of your wife, how you speak about your wife, sets an example of how they will treat their future wife. In the same way, your daughters are watching how you speak about their mother and how you treat their mother. And you set this expectation in their life of how they should be treated and how they should be spoken to. It's one of the ways in which we lead by example. You know, and that same thing, leading by example, comes to our faith. Your children notice you taking time to spend time in God's Word. They're always there watching. They notice if you're taking time to pray and leading your family in prayer. Your children notice if you take time to take them to church or not, whether you take time to serve God or not. And when your children see you doing these things, and this is important, when you bring them along in it, it sets an example and it becomes a habit in their life. This becomes you discipling your children. When you're a faithful follower of Christ and you lead your family and you lead by example, your children follow behind. Now, this doesn't mean that we get to lead in such a way that we lead with an iron fist, but it means the leading in such a way that it's easy for them to follow. Remembering there's little footsteps walking behind you. And often even when we don't realize it. On top of leading our families, dads, we are called to be protectors of our families. Now, I had a lot of fun when I was putting this together and I was thinking about the fact of being a protector of our family. You know, a lot of times us men, we can be visual in things. And we can get this visual image in our head of putting on like a gladiator suit. And we're going to go on and we're going to take on whatever's in front of us. You know, we got our war cry ready. And like, nobody's going to touch my family. I've got this. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to do everything I can. And wives, you may be surprised to know this, but did you know there's a high probability that your husband has already played out multiple things in his mind about what he would do if someone broke into the house or if something did. All these different scenarios, they've all ran through his mind and he's got it mapped out on what he's going to do. Don't believe me? Ask him later. There's a high probability he's gone through that already. This is part of that protective nature that God has called us to as men. Part of that protective nature is to chase that monsters out of the closets, right? To check under the bed, to have our kids feel secure and safe when they're around us. And that's not a hard one for us oftentimes to come to. I think as men, a lot of times that's what we want to do. But here's the kicker, men. We're not just called to protect our families physically. That's often where we go to when we think of protection and being that protective man, is to protect our families physically. But you see, as a leader of our homes, we are called to protect our families spiritually as well. To watch out for the evil that's within our world. And one of the ways that we can do that is by putting on the full armor of God each and every day. You know, Ephesians 6:11 tells us, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. If we're going to protect our family, we need to protect them spiritually as well. This means we have to arm up and put on that armor each and every day for God and for our family. That means we put on the belt of truth. You know, and the belt of truth represents truthfulness and integrity, living out this life that God has called us to, helping us discern the lies and deceptions of this world so that we can lead well. We put on that breastplate of righteousness, representing righteous living, protecting the heart and the mind of the temptations of sins of this world. And when we put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, it shows that we're ready to share the good news of Jesus to the world, no matter where God sends us. Being prepared at all times. When we pick up the shield of faith, it protects us from the attacks of the enemy. Shielding us and our families from doubt and fear so that we can charge on and lead as God has called us to lead. When we put on that helmet of salvation, it's that assurance that we have through Christ Jesus our Lord in our salvation, and that the victory is found in Christ and Christ alone. And lastly, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Of this entire example of the armor of God, the sword is the only offensive weapon that we're told to put on. And it's the very Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that defeats the devil in his schemes. It's the Word of God that tells us about his love. It's the Word of God that says the devil is a liar. Because let me remind you, The devil is after our children and grandchildren's souls. And he's been destroying the truth and the realities of God ever since Adam and Eve were in the garden. The Bible reminds us in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in heavens." And we're called to stand up to such things, to protect our families and our children, not physically, but spiritually as well. And we do this by putting on the full armor of God each and every day, remembering that we're in a battle for our family's souls, and God has called us to protect them. So when you have that mental image of being in the gladiator suit or that all of that, I want you to think back on the armor of God. And if you want to protect your family, put it on each and every day. On top of that, God has called us to be providers for our families. In fact, he's some pretty stern words for this one. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now, I want to explain what it means to be a provider inside of this moment. Because being a provider doesn't mean that you need to provide for everything that your child wants. Okay, let me restate that. It doesn't mean that we provide everything that your child wants. Kids, you're not going to be happy with what I'm going to say. Being a provider doesn't mean that they get every new video game system or video game that they want. That's not part of being a provider, okay? It doesn't mean that your kids get to have a cell phone or an iPad just because they want it. That's not part of what it means to be a provider. It doesn't mean that we give them whatever they want, whatever the world tells them that they think they need to be happy. Instead, being a provider is not about giving them their wants, but providing for their needs. And we're not just talking physical needs inside of this moment. You know, it's easy to just go buy a new glove and hand it off and let the kid run off, isn't it? But if you get him a glove and get yourself a glove and you play ball with him, that's providing. Do you see the difference? Do you understand the difference? You know, being a provider, we're talking about mental and spiritual needs that your children have. Being that stability in your child's life. Knowing they can come to you to find comfort and peace no matter what they're facing in life. Being able to turn that phrase, this is very important, being able to turn that phrase from, "I can't tell Dad," to, "I have to tell Dad." Moving that goalpost over. If we provide well for our family in the way that they need, that turn happens so quickly because they know that you're there. They understand that Dad will be there no matter what they face, providing guidance, direction, reassurance, and that Dad will point them back to Jesus. That Dad will pray with them and provide that spiritual foundation for their lives. You know, when we take the time out of our day to sit down and provide that one-on-one time with our kids, when we sit down and we pray with our kids, when we read those Bible stories to your kids, I cannot stress this enough, what it does for your child and for their future. Building that foundation of faith and relationship. I look back on my own life, and I remember one of the biggest things of my childhood that always stuck with me from when I was little was that we would get together every night before we would go to bed. My parents would read a little Bible story to us, and we would pray. But not only would we pray, my dad would pray for each one of us kids by name and pray over us. I want to encourage you, both men and women, mom and dads, if you're not making a habit of doing that yet, change that. Provide that foundation in their life. Pray over your children. Teach them the word of God from a little age on. And if you need help finding resources for that, come talk to me. Talk to Ann. Talk to anybody here. We will get you that. Build that spiritual foundation. Provide that for your children. You know, it's great to bring your kids to Sunday school. It's great to bring them Sunday morning. But to truly build that foundation, it needs to be modeled at home. That's part of providing for our family that God is talking about. Providing that firm foundation there in faith. It's a gift that will walk with them throughout their life. And as we move on, the next thing dads are called to do is to be the disciplinarian. This is not the fun one. This is not a fun part about being a dad or a parent for that matter, but it's something that we're called to do for our story. And this may shock some of you, but I got spankings as a kid. Okay? I know that's a shocker. And don't worry, though. I earned most of them. But I remember something about how I was disciplined. My parents always sat me down and told me exactly what I did wrong before I got a whooping. They always explained why I was getting spanked. And then they said something that drove me nuts as a kid, but now that I'm older, I understand. They said, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." Want to bet? But I get it. They were trying to raise me up. They were trying to teach me right from wrong. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:17, discipline your child and it will bring you peace of mind and give you delight. Now, let me be clear about something here. Disciplining your child is different than beating your child. There's a big difference. Disciplining your child looks different for each one of the children as well. Some respond better to some punishments than others do. And as parents, your responsibility is to figure out what helps your child. Not hurts, helps your child. Because part of disciplining your child is helping them teach them right from wrong. Helping them understand there are consequences to each one of their actions. And when we don't discipline our children, what happens? We often find that our children have no structure in life. Paul explains this a little bit more in Ephesians 6:4, where he says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in training and instructions of the Lord." That word training can also be translated as disciplining. You know, we are called to discipline our children. It's not about stirring up anger and resentment against us. I don't resent my parents for punishing me. I love my parents that they took the time to correct me and to do it in such a way that I understood why they were doing it. And that actually leads us into our fifth thing that dads are called to do, and that is to be a teacher. And I'm sure most of you have been taught something at some point from your dads in life, both good and bad. I know my dad, he taught me how to work with my hands. He also taught me how to hold a flashlight properly when he was working on the car. That took a minute. But he taught me how to build things. He taught me how to work on cars. He taught me how to fix things around the house. And he taught me a lot of skills that I'm truly thankful for. And I think many of us have learned something at some point from our dad, some kind of skill, sometimes not good, sometimes good. It just varies. But there's another aspect of being a teacher that dads and moms are called to do, and that is to teach our children about God, to build that foundation. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, "Start a youth out in his way, even when he grows old, he will not depart from it." You know, growing up a young man, I was taught about Jesus. I was taught about how much he loves me and then wants a relationship with me. That was part of being raised in a godly home. I was taken to church and Sunday school. I was encouraged to remember Bible verses. You know, my family, we prayed together every night before bed. My parents took the time to read me those Bible stories at a young age. Things that helped me grow in knowledge and wisdom of who God was. And let me tell you, though, as I got older, when my life took a completely different moment, when things became hard and my family fell apart, some of you have heard that story before, and my entire world was shattered around me. I was hurt. I was angry. I was upset. I blamed God for everything. I blamed him to the point that I ran from everything he had ever called me to do. I lived the life that was anything but a reflection of God inside of those moments. But here's the thing. All that stuff I was taught as a child was still within me. I may not have paid attention to it, but it was still there. That still small voice was still working away. All of those verses that were ingrained within me. And when I couldn't run anymore, I knew God was still there. Don't ever underestimate the power of teaching your children from a young age of who Jesus is and what he's done. And God will use it to call him back or her back if they depart, just as he did for me. Because I can promise you this, if God can redeem me, he can redeem anyone. Never underestimate that power of reaching your children. And as you teach your children, we're called to encourage our children. Think back to when you were a child and your dad was teaching you how to ride a bike. Okay? Did you get it on the first try? The very first time he let go of the seat, how bad did you wipe out when he found out he wasn't there anymore? Odds are you didn't make it that first one. But did he let you give up? Did he let you stop? No, he kept encouraging you to try and try again until you got it. It's the same thing with baseball, shooting hoops, or whatever it was. Maybe you were in dance and you were struggling with your routine. That's often we have to encourage to continue to go on. And that's something dads are supposed to do for their kids, is to encourage. The Bible says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. Sometimes the standards that we set for our children are far beyond that of what they are ready for. Now, don't get me wrong. I know you want what's best for each one of your children. But this passage reminds us that we're called to encourage and not discourage. We are to set standards and goals for our children that they're ready to achieve. I think you can become easy for us to forget that our words have power when we're dealing with our kids. That they have little hearts and minds. And when all they hear is that they can't do something, when all they hear is how much they fail, it starts to become part of their thought process where they feel they will never be good enough. Instead, we are called to encourage them like Christ encourages us. Which actually leads us to our final point for today. You know, dads, we're supposed to be a reflection of God to our children. And when we look at everything that we've looked at today, how we're called to lead and lead by example, isn't that what God did through his son Jesus? You know, Jesus came and he lived a life that was an example to each one of us on how we're called to live our lives. When we protect our family, isn't that what God does for us? Doesn't God protect us? I mean, if you read through Psalms 91, it talks about how God watches over us and protects us. Isn't that what we're called to do for our families? We think of the fact that we're called to provide for our families. Doesn't God provide for us? I mean, he gave us his one and only son to die on the cross so that we could have eternal life and be restored to him. He provided for us. He provided what we couldn't provide for ourselves. And we look at the disciplinarian. Doesn't God discipline us? When we turn our backs and do things God doesn't want us to do, do we not have to face the consequences of our action? Yet it's still out of love that God loves us and cherishes us. And he teaches us, just as we're called to teach our children. You know, he gives us his word to help guide us and direct us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. God is constantly teaching us if we're willing to listen. And we know that God encourages us. He encourages us to seek him. He encourages us to listen to that still small voice within us. He gives us that peace that surpasses all understandings because we know he loves us. Gentlemen, this is what it means to reflect God to our families. And when we reflect God well, it encourages our children to seek after him. You know, when people hear about a loving and caring God, when people hear the way that God provides like a good father, if they've never experienced a good father here on earth, oftentimes it's hard to understand what the Bible means by it. Gentlemen, never underestimate the role that you play in your children's life, the importance of your job. Did you know that if we reach the children for Jesus, we have a 3.5% chance to reach the rest of the family for Jesus? Did you know that? Did you know if we reach mom for Jesus, we have an 18% chance of reaching the rest of the family for Jesus? But do you know what happens the moment that dad becomes a believer and starts following and chasing after Jesus? We have a 93% chance of the rest of the family coming to know who God is. I want you to think about that for a minute, men. Never underestimate the role that you are called to play inside of your family. If you come to Jesus, you have that big of an impact. God has called you to this role for a reason. You have a responsibility to your family first. You are critical in your child's life. And I want to thank each one of you men who have stepped up and played that role in your kid's life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you and to praise you. Father, we thank you for the example that you have given us on what it means to be a good father. The way that you watch out for us, care for us, lead us, protect us, teach us, and so much more. Lord, I ask that you just go with us out today. Father, I thank you for the dads in our lives. I thank you for each one that is here, being that example to their family. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name.
Let's stand. Gonna sing to the one who fills my soul. Gonna bring all that I am to the one who makes me whole. And there you are, enthroned on high. Here I am, I lay myself down low. And with these hands, they're stretched out to the sky.
Enthroned on high, here I am. I
As you go out this week, I just want to say thank you, dads. And I pray that it is a blessed week and a blessed day.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.